Welcome to the Church of the Redeemer Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on www.cotr.com.
Your Bibles, come with us to Acts chapter 27. It's good to be in the land of the living one more time. Didn't have to let me live. Acts chapter 27, begin reading at verse 13 and move down to verse 26. Acts chapter 27, begin to read verse 13, move down to 26. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. And we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to preach a message by the Spirit that may be difficult for some of us to hear. So we'll begin in Acts 27, verse 13. This is what the Bible says. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. This is Paul is in bondage. He's being taken to Rome, where he's supposed to stand trial before Caesar, and this is a portion of that journey. Amen. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force, how many know it's hurricane season, called the Nor'easter, swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Calda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard. The lifeboat is your last lifeline if something goes wrong, amen. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. These are precautionary measures that would be taken in the event of an extreme storm. The lifeboat will be pulled in because if it was dragging behind the ship as is customary, it would create further tow, pulling the ship even harder than the wind already was. They would wrap ropes around the ship to hold it together in case the wood began to get fractured due to the violence of the wind and the waves. So the men hoisted it aboard, verse 17, then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. The sandbars of Syrtis were an area that was famous for shipwrecks. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. My God, to be hopeless. After they had gone a long time without food, how many know we're not without hope? Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the Lord God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" I want to preach a message by the Spirit on this morning. Hard for some of us to hear because some of us are stubborn. Hard-headed. Difficult. Trying to clean it up. I want to preach a message by the Spirit entitled Knowing When to Yield. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you, and we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Help us preach, God. Help us receive. Amen. I'm concerned about any person, any ministry, any church, any living thing that gets it in its mind that it's okay for them to fight and resist God. I've learned that very oftentimes in our lives, we know exactly what God is doing. We know what He may want us to do, but we don't like it. It's not that it's not God. It's that whatever is happening is beyond our control. And we don't like that what He is oftentimes telling us to do is the very opposite of what we want to see happen. And so what we begin to do is we resist. We resist in various ways. We stay in relationships longer than we ought to. We resist. Come on, somebody. We stay in places longer than we ought to. We resist. We continue to do things that we like and ingratiate ourselves in activities that may be pleasing to our body but detrimental down the line. We resist because we don't want to change our diet and eat right. We don't want to do that. We don't want to give up processed meats. We don't want to give up fast food. We don't want to fast and eat healthy. We resist. We know full well what God has called us to do. And oftentimes, dare I say by the Spirit, even at risk of destruction. We're so doggone hard-headed that you know what you're eating is not good for your, how would we say it in our community, your sugar. But you eat it anyhow. You don't want to yield. You know what you're saying is wrong. You know that it's wrong to have an attitude that says it's my way or the highway. But you have so much pride, not enough humility to come back and say, I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. I was wrong about that. I need to yield. Yielding is important because yielding is what gives God access to our lives. That's why we would come to church over and over again for generations and sing songs like, I surrender all. Because it's in the process of surrender and yielding that we give God access to move in our lives in the way that He wants to. And on today, God told me to tell somebody, you need to stop fighting God. You need to stop being mad about what God is doing. Good God Almighty. You need to yield, release, and let the Lord have His way. May not like it. The Bible says in this particular story, they did not know how to yield. There's a brother by the name of Paul who had been held captive. They were on board a ship, and yielding is difficult for everybody because we think we know enough about a situation to be able to dictate what ought to happen in it. So in this particular situation, there's a brother who's a captain of a ship. Now, you've got a brother on board the ship by the name of Paul. If you're the captain of the ship and the brother on board of the ship is some preacher, what makes you think Paul's some preacher that you know more about sailing than I do? I'm a captain of a ship. But what you sometimes fail to realize is even though people don't have the same credentials as you, they have a knowledge base that far exceeds yours. Wisdom is accumulated. I'd rather have somebody in the room when my son is being born that's delivered babies for years than somebody with 6 or 7 degrees fresh out of medical school, because... And at this point in the story, Paul has already been shipwrecked 3 times. You read in Corinthians, he says, listen, I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've spent a day and a night at sea. I've been beaten with rods. He may not be a sailor, but he knows something about what's going on. And so he's not crazy. Looks at the wind, looks at what's happening. Brothers, this ain't looking good. But they don't listen to Paul because Paul is some preacher. For whatever reason, they decide that they can go on without him. They don't need what he has to say. And so they push out and they set sail anyhow. The Bible says that there's a captain of the ship and there's a centurion who's guarding Paul because he's in bondage. He's on his way to Rome, and so understand, not only is he not a sailor, not only is he not a captain, he's a captive. In other words, he's under their control. How in the world are you going to tell me what to do? I'm supposed to be running things. That'll jack you up every time. Woo! Think your doggone title, think your doggone name, think your doggone... means nothing in the face of tragedy if you don't have access to the Spirit of the living God. People think that because of their authoritative position, they for some reason are exempt from listening to the wisdom of those who are beneath them. But you're going to find out the hard way sooner or later. Because you can't handle the storm by yourself. And every ship has to be navigated in a particular type of way. And the Bible says that the ship that Paul is telling them is not going to look good is an Alexandrian ship that's bound for Italy. And scholars know that this ship was likely a grain freighter. It was not a ship that was meant to be carrying a bunch of people on board. It was meant to carry a cargo, not human, grain. And so it was not meant to be steered by oars in the way that most ships would be steered. There was a big square block sail on it, and there would have been only 2 rudders in the back that could have been controlled, two big oars that could have been controlled. In other words, the ship that they were on was not even built for this. Do you know that there's nothing in you that is built to be able to handle fighting or resisting God? Do you know there's no aspect of your life that can handle what it's like when you try to maintain control and the wind of God is blowing you in a different direction? Do you know that you're going to be off balance for the rest of your life if you think you can steer when God is blowing? If you think you can handle the anger of God? If you think you can handle the wrath of the Almighty? Lord, have mercy. The ship was not built for this. And in addition to that, Paul has already told you, this is not, and it was the wrong time of season. The Bible says that it was after the fast had ended or after the Day of Atonement. In other words, this was hurricane season. You so doggone hard-headed, you want to sail in the wrong kind of ship. At the wrong season. And you got a prophet on board telling you this is the wrong way to go. But you know. You got it all figured out. You know, God can do anything. So they set out. They set out. And in addition to it being hurricane season, the brother being on board telling them this is the wrong way, not a good idea, wrong kind of ship to handle this type of a massive storm. They in the wrong place. They in the wrong place and at the wrong time. Because the Bible says that they're nearing the sands of Sardis. This is a place that is known in antiquity for shipwrecks. There were places along, at this time they were going along the northern coast of Africa, there were places that were notorious for crashing ships because the winds would be treacherous and the seabed would be unpredictable in height. And at any time, waves could come and crash you. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Everybody who loves you and told you you're doing the wrong thing. Lord, help me in here. All the wise people in your life telling you, baby, this is not a good idea. You shouldn't buy the house. You shouldn't marry them. You shouldn't. You need to leave the relationship. Everybody telling you, I don't know, just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. Everybody telling you, you need to pray a little bit more. You need to fast a little bit more. Everybody, you know, whether they got the Holy Ghost or not, they're saying, I don't know about this one. I heard some things. All the signs are saying you're going the wrong way. And still what we do, well, you know, I'm just going to, you know. So you don't know when to yield. And so here's what happens. What happens is you get caught in the middle of a storm. Because the storm is coming. Lord, help me in here. But you've got to make decisions about whether or not you're going to go into that thing. And there's one thing if you go into it with God, you're going to go into that thing, or you're going to allow wisdom to keep you from having to encounter it altogether. Let me tell you, by the Spirit, we've been preaching about storms for some time. You don't have to go into every storm. There are some people right now, you see them on television, on the news, they're called storm chasers. These are idiots, I mean bold people, I mean who decide that when a hurricane comes, what they want to do is the very opposite of what all the people who specialize in staying alive tell you ought to do. They want to run into the doggone storm and stay in the storm with a video camera. These are storm chasers. And so if they die, it's nobody's fault but theirs. I came by to tell you, some people in the church running around chasing storms. What they gossiping about? What they talking about? What they saying? What's going to happen? What are we going to do? There's some storm chasers in the church. And can I tell you, if you got a storm chaser on your roll, you need to find another place to sit, because I ain't going with you. Pull over on the side. No, my life is too precious. God's got a work to do in my life. There's too much for me to do, too much for me to see, for me to run into a doggone. Do you know I got enough storms? I got no choice about. You think I'm going to run into that mama? Doggone storm chasers, storm chasers, storm chasers. You wonder why wherever they go it's a storm. It's because they run into it. They don't. It's not because the rain cloud is following them. No. They seek it out. They seek out gossip. They seek out lies. They seek out stories. They seek out trouble. You ain't got to do that, though. You ain't got to do that, though. You can listen to wisdom. See them people over there? They talk about something you don't need to be talking about. Let me go the other way. Let me not run into the storm. Let me stay away from it. Some people are storm chasers. And so what they do is they end up having to go through some things that they shouldn't have to go through. But I came by to tell you some good news on today. There are times when, like Paul, you find yourself as the person who's held captive on board. And Paul, despite telling them, you shouldn't go this way, this is not what you should do, he finds out they want to run and they want to do it anyhow. They're storm chasers. They just don't know it. They ain't got
cameras yet. They ain't got no videos yet, but they storm chasers, because all the signs are telling them stay away. All the signs are telling them watch what you're doing. All the signs are telling them don't go, but they go anyhow. And so the wind starts to blow, and watch this. They end up losing things they would not have had to lose if they had just been wiser about it. There's somebody in here today. You ain't have to go through all that you went through. Some of the stuff you lost, don't blame it on my God. My God didn't do that to you. No. Don't say the Lord took it away. No, you gave it away. When you decided to stay in that mess you should have left a long time ago, you gave away joy. You gave away peace. You gave away a sound mind. You gave away strength running around in that deadbeat relationship. You're trying to give away your destiny. And if it had not been for the Lord on your side, standing up when you were intent on your demise, there's somebody in here other than me who can say, if God would not have stepped in, I would have ruined my life, because I didn't have enough strength to say no. I didn't know what I was doing, but even when I wanted to yield, God stood right by my.
So they got to throw stuff off board. They got to throw things off board. Watch this. Not just things they need now, but things they need for the future. Because your future gets compromised when you don't know how to yield to wisdom. I feel like preaching now. Because the Bible says they had tackle. And tackle was what they would have used to fish. And tackle was what they would have used to catch food. Not food for right now, but food for even the present and time to come. Do you know that the longer you stay in that deadbeat relationship, the longer you stay with that thing that you need to leave, the longer you stay in that abusive marriage, the longer you stay in that deadbeat lifestyle, the longer you stay hooked up on that drug, the longer you stay out there in the street, the longer you stay in that negative attitude, the longer you stay with that gossip in your mouth, the longer you stay with that lying and your cheating, the more of your destiny you're just throwing it away. You're just handing it away. The devil ain't even got a take it from you, because you're giving it. Because you like him. The longer you stay, the more your destiny gets compromised. And you give away stuff, and some of it you cannot get back. They got to throw it overboard. They got to throw it overboard. It's good, usable stuff, trust me, just sinking to the bottom of the ocean. All the signs told them don't go. And then they start looking like what they're in.
Yeah, that's good. See, here's what I learned about God. That's good. Somebody say, that's good. Look at your name. Tell them that's good. See, here's what happens with God. When God takes you through something, like we learned last week with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you can go through the fire, but you come out and your hair won't be burned. You come out and your clothes won't smell smoky. It smell like you just walked out the doggone Bloomingdale's showroom, baby. Because God will preserve you. God will keep you. God will make you be able to come through something and not look like what you went through. But when you go through it without God, I came by to tell you the very opposite will happen. You begin to look like stress because you're in something that God is not protecting you from. I feel the Holy Ghost on me now. You feel to look like tired because you're in something God told you to leave a long time ago. You begin to look like anger because you're mad all the time because you're outside of the will of God, and you ain't got no joy in your heart. You ain't got no love in your body. You begin to look like cancer, but there's somebody on your row. They've been through cancer and chemo, and you would never even know it. Why? Because the Lord has kept them and brought them a mighty long way. There's somebody on your row right now, and they used to put drugs in their body, but you would never know. You know why? Because he's a keeper, and he'll keep you in the middle of a storm. Somebody, am I right about it? He'll keep joy in your heart when you're struggling to keep your eyes from wiping tears. He'll keep love in your heart when everybody is tearing you down. I feel like saying, won't he do it? But see,
Frank, they hard-headed. So their ship no longer looks like a normal vessel. See, because a normal healthy vessel would have a lifeboat behind it. But theirs ain't there no more. Oh, God, can I tell you your lifelines are almost gone? This is an important word for somebody, because God is trying to get to your heart and pull you out of what you're in before it's too late. The lifeboat is no longer there. And then they got Trusty Barber. Now they wrapping ropes around the ship because it's being beaten so badly. Oh. Now you rock around and you don't even realize it. You got your makeup all jacked up. Losing weight. You ain't on no diet. Clothes wrinkled. Think you got on black and black, you got on black and navy, because you. Ironed it all night. I stayed up 2 hours ironing it. It's navy. Your life is being ravaged by a storm. That God has done his best to keep you from having to even go into. So in the close, the Bible says that Paul, after he's exhausted all options, because he'd been trying to talk to him. So he'd been trying to talk him out of it. I know this is a good word. I'm grateful for the laughter, because I know it's heavy. Because see, somebody, you got a loved one in your life. You've been trying to talk to them. The question is two ways. Who is your Paul? Who's been trying to talk you out of your mess? And then the other way is, whose Paul are you? Bible says Paul realizes, I can't talk through addiction. No, I can't do that. There's no rational way. I can't talk through a soul tie. Because once somebody in here other than me knows, once you fall in love, ain't too much anybody else can tell you about it. So, y'all shouted too loud on that. So he leaves the people to try to do it their way. He takes a different approach. Goes down beneath the ship. Maybe where all the grain is, I don't know. And there he begins to pray to his God. Because prayer will do wonders for you. When you can't talk them out, I came by to tell you, you can still pray them out. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever stop fasting. Don't ever stop talking to God. When they don't want to listen anymore, that's all right. You got a God who does. So, Bible says Paul begins to talk to his God, and God says, Paul, fear not, because you've got to go to Rome. And somewhere along the way, Paul must have also begun to say, God, I don't just want you to bring me out. He must have said, I want you to save them too. Because the Bible says when God responds through the angel says, God has also given you the life of everybody else on board. Some 200 some people, all of them got saved because there was one praying man down low who knew they shouldn't be there and who had enough sense to say, you know what, I tried to talk to you. I tried to check you into rehab, so now I'm just going to pray for you. Who said, you know what? I tried to love on you the best way I could, but you did not want to receive it, so now I'm just going to pray for you. Who said, you know what? I know that you don't like me anymore. You're mad at me because I won't give you money to buy your drugs like everybody else, but I love you too much. All I can do is pray for you. Who said, you know, I know that your marriage is crazy right now, but God called you to stay, and God called you to be in it, so no, I don't condone you stepping out. No, it's not all right for you to go to the strip club. No, it's not okay for you to engage in porn. Why? Because God called you to stay. You may not like me. You may think I'm unqualified because I'm just some preacher in the bottom of a ship, but I know a God who saves. I know a God who delivers, and I know if there's anybody here today who you can say your story and your testimony is this, at some point you were not Paul. You were the person on the ship who was intent on doing it your way. But let me tell you how your testimony goes. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. And can somebody say, I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. As you stand to your feet, I want to share this with you. You may never meet your Paul. But if you're like me, you've put yourself, not this ain't the devil. This ain't nobody else. Due to being human, due to making the mistakes that everybody else has made, you put yourself in places that have caused you to be battered by a storm. And then somehow you sit back when you make it out of that thing, you say, my God, God must have something special for my life. God must have a destiny for my life, because I know I shouldn't have made it. I know by now, all of these times, over and over and over again, keeps on bringing me out, keeps on blessing me. And he does. But I want you to know this too. I hope that you can learn how to yield, because some of the storms that you've been through, you did not even have to go into if you would have just listened prior to the storm. And when you come out, know this. Yes, God saved you. Yes, God delivered you. Yes, God made a way and brought you out. But the likelihood is very high of this, that just like Paul was praying for them when they did not even know it, there was somebody in your life. And part of the reason why you made it through is because that person was praying for you. Come on, the doors of the church are open on today. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, can you give God glory? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Can you say thank you, Lord? Thank you, God. Thank you, Master. Thank you. Can we just give him a praise for those who prayed for us when we don't even realize it? Our grandmothers, our pastors, our neighbors, our friends. We're standing because somebody was praying. Somebody was on their knees so we could stand. Somebody was on their face so we could walk. Somebody prayed. Just want to pray real quickly. Don't want you to move, but if you know that right now your head, don't want you to move, but heads bowed, eyes closed. If you know right now you're headed into a storm and you know you shouldn't be going in the direction that you're going. And I just want to pray for you. Nobody's going to look around, heads about. I'm asking you to do this. Thank you so much for listening to your pastor. If you're here on today, just lift your hand. We just want to pray for you. We just want to, we see you. God bless you. 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 Thank you for your boldness. We see you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father God, we're praying for every hand that was raised on today. God, many of us, including your manservant on this morning, knows what it's like to be heading in a direction that you don't really know how to get out of by yourself. God, it's not that we don't want to get out sometimes. God, sometimes we just simply don't know how to yield. God, we've been fighting our whole lives. God, our whole lives we've been struggling to maintain financial control, to establish ourselves in a better relationship, to build our businesses, to build up, God, our personal empires. God, not for any negative intention, but because we wanted to be a blessing and do what we felt like you've called us to do. So it's hard to yield. It's hard to give it up. It's hard to let it go away. It's hard to throw in the towel. Right now, God, touch that person, touch that man, touch that woman. God, let them know that weeping may endure for a night, but that joy will come in the morning. God, let them know that, God, when we are weak because of you, we can say that we're strong. Let them know, God, that your strength is made perfect in weakness, and so they can cry out to you. And God, you're the God who will heal and the God who will save. You're the God who will deliver even in the midst of the storm. God, we pray for every hand that's been raised. God, we ask you to touch them in a mighty way that they might see the true magnitude of what they're walking into and help them, God, to make the commitment to avoiding this storm. God, if you need to pull them out, pull them out. God, if you need to take people away, take people away. God, if you need to move them, move them. Whatever you need to do, God, we say we yield on this morning. You're the God who's able, and so we surrender it all to you. God, we thank you for those of us who can look back and say, God, we came through some storms that were of our own making that should have taken us out. God, we thank you that somebody was praying for us. Somebody was calling out our names. And so we were not forgotten. And so, God, we don't forget them too. And God, as we now move to open up the doors of your church, God, if there's somebody here who needs to yield, who needs to say yes, help them to do so. If they need to step out in the aisle in faith, help them to do so. If they need a church home, a pastoral covering in their life, help them to do so. If they need to be baptized, rededicated, help them to do so. And for this, God, we'll be careful to give your name all glory, all honor, and all praise. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put your hands together on this morning.
You are my strength.
Are you here? Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Is there one? Do you need to come? Come on, we're clapping for you. Come on, let's not.